You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So if you missed the headline, with all of the soccer things going on, I can understand it. And we are here to talk about something that is most certainly not soccer. But I'm telling you, I am every bit as excited for this, because this is for good and this is in our town. And there are 18 fierce, amazing, athletic women who are the inaugural professional softball team in Kansas City. And I have been wanting to have this interview for a long time. We tried to do it last week. Congratulations, you guys had your first homestand. We welcome in Jeremy McDowell, majority owner of the Kansas City Diamonds, as well as Andy Kimball. You're a minority owner and sports lawyer. And bring the mic like this a little bit closer so I can hear you, sis. There we go. I am so excited about this. How did this get started? A friend of mine even brought this up this morning. She goes, we went to the open air. We went to the opener.
Heck yeah. Where were you?
I know, right? I'm like, all the things. We're trying to do all the things. How did this get started, Jeremy, and why?
Yeah, lifelong, been involved in youth softball for about 25 years, and was around the professional game from about 2009 to 2018.
Yep.
And we were more of a, I called a barnstorming tour type team that I was around, and we had the greats of Kat Osterman, Caitlin Lowe, Natasha Watley's, Lauren Chamberlain's. You know, we played against Jenny Fitch, and I call them the pioneer women of the game. And back then, you know, to play professionally, you really had to go to Japan. That was the one and only place you really went to make any type of money, and very few did that. And then you had the Olympics. And so our women were known for winning a gold medal, right?
Yeah.
And so, which was great, but there was never a place post-college for them to go play.
It was just over.
It was over. It was over. I mean, I always say when you hang up the cleats, your last collegiate game, and you put them on home plate, you're never, this is not a game that you see played anywhere, right? Baseball, you can go play men's senior baseball. Fast pitch, it's done.
Yeah.
You never play another game. And so I think we always knew at the right place and right time, if professional women's sports got to where it's at now, that Kansas City would be a place to bring a team. And so here we are in 2026.
You are in a league called PSL. Remind me what that stands for.
Professional Softball League.
You are in the Professional Softball League. And folks, we're talking Atlanta, New York, Chattanooga. There's a couple of teams in Florida, ours now in Kansas City, and four more coming. I'm going to move over to you, Andy. You are a minority owner. You are a sports lawyer. Why is now the time to do this?
Well, I mean, we're in Kansas City, for one, and no city shows up for women's sports like Kansas City.
Yeah.
You'd be hard-pressed to find another city with three professional sports teams. And, you know, launching during a World Cup might not be the greatest time, but why not now? Softball is hot, and you see the College World Series for the women outdrawing the men.
We didn't miss a game.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's a great game to watch. And when I heard Jeremy's vision for the team and for the pipeline that he's building and the whole ecosystem, as a former softball player myself, I was like, I'm in.
Where and when did you play? Tell me everything.
So I played college softball and basketball at Western Michigan.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, early 90s. And I wanted to be Dot Richardson, you know, that shortstop that played in the Olympics.
And so for you, when it was over, it was over.
It was over. Your options were slow pitch softball. Mm-hmm.
One is it? Yeah, the beer league on exactly. Wednesday nights after you get home from the office. One of the things I read while the Women's College World Series was going on is that for those of you who have never watched a professional or college level softball game, it is more exciting than you think. It's faster. And there's more excitement within the body of all of those games than you will ever see in baseball. I absolutely agree. And I played softball like a lot of girls did until I was 12 or 13. What is it about it that was, we watched the World Series, mind-blowing exciting?
I mean, it's just a unique sport. And I've been away from it for a while. But to come back and see our home opener and see the level of sportsmanship between the girls, a lot of our pros in the league have played against each other or with each other. Just the way they come together, the crowd is really into it. There is something that's new in my lifetime is the pitch clock. So,
yep.
You know, there's not that long delay like baseball used to
have. So when I was growing up in Topeka, we had one or two softball leagues. And you know, I think a couple of kids probably went on and played D2, something like that. We didn't have soccer. We didn't have golf. We didn't have anything like that when I was growing up. And I graduated high school in 1992, right? And so what has happened? How do you see this game evolving? where back in the 80s and maybe even early 90s, certainly the 70s, softball was it. Certainly we had basketball and things like that. Now you are competing against all of it.
Yeah, I know. I think that if you look back at where the game was back then and where it's at now, I think it's overall youth sports now is such a part of our culture. And so the number of families that were playing back then is not near as many as there is now, right? And so growing up and going to any cul-de-sac, right, they're sitting around on a Thursday night, you know, if they're home, if they're not at a ballpark or ball field, right, they're talking about their most recent family outing at a game, right? And I think for what really has made softball where it's at is the development of these athletes in the Midwest. We have, you just said, I was in Topeka, I might have had one or two players. We have Power Four Division One All-Americans that reside in Topeka, reside in Kansas City. We've got Ashton Maloney, who just won two World Series with University of Texas back-to-back, right? Like, there is great athleticism and great athletes all throughout the Midwest. And I think now it's time more than ever to allow those women the opportunity to continue their career, to be able to have something that they can go to, you know, 7 days a week and have a career playing this game that they grew up playing.
Talk a little about that pipeline. So, you know, and we've seen this talk in Major League Baseball this week. What do we do with the 18-year-old who wants to jump straight to the pros? Do we allow that? Where does your pipeline of these young athletic women come from?
Sure. Think about it in this standpoint. There's 12 total professional teams in the United States right now, which equates to 190 female athletes that play professionally. That is, there's over 1,700 collegiate softball programs. So if you look at the number of women that play softball, you're close to 25,000. Only 190 of them get to go on and play professionally in the United States right now. So what we've created here is three things. The next level down is we have what's called the PSL Developmental League. That is an opportunity for women that did not quite make one of those teams professionally.
Because there's not enough slots.
I call it a minor league system.
Yeah.
Right? And there's 34 athletes that right now that are being housed in Kansas City as we speak, that five of them have been called up to the PSL so far this year. I've got to see tears. Yeah. I've got to see families fly across the country to see somebody's first professional softball game. When does that happen? You see that in baseball?
Yeah.
That has never happened in fast pitch. We got to see it in Kansas City this past week. I got goosebumps telling the story,
right? It's so exciting.
And so beyond the PSLD, which we'll have 8 PSLD teams next year at least, we turned away over 200 athletes that signed up to play in the developmental system. We had to start somewhere. We started with 34. Next level down, we have a collegiate league. So now you're playing college ball. Maybe you want to continue playing in the summer. I call it the old baseball Cape Cod League, things like that. There's a summer league for you to play here in Kansas City as well called the Midwest Gym League. Okay. Beyond that, then we also have a junior diamonds program. It's where these athletes get to train with the pros. These athletes get to, you know, be developed by the pros. So there's a full ecosystem, what I call cradle to grave, that allows these women to have a pathway that they've never had before in this sport.
Well, and I would say women my age who grew up playing softball when we did not have the other sports, I miss it. And there was never really an outlet to go experience that, right? Who is your fan and your audience member? You almost sold out the home opener. Who do you have when you get butts in seats? Who's sitting there?
Well, I think it's a lot of people who, like you, used to play softball, who watch the College World Series and think, oh my gosh, I have this in my own town now.
Yeah.
Let's go. We see a lot of dads and their daughters. We saw autograph lines. And the cool thing about the Diamonds is the players that we recruit and sign know that the buy-in is that you are going to be connected with the community.
Yeah.
The autograph line wrapped around Monarchs Park, and the players stayed 2.5 hours after the game till every little girl and boy, lots of little boys in Diamonds outfits and jerseys, got every autograph signed.
Girl power.
Oh, that makes me so happy. 913-586-7798 if you would like to text in your questions. And when we get back, we have a player hanging on the line. She's got a couple of minutes to spend with us. One of your pitchers is calling in from Florida, and we will get to her straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. I have so many questions. We're just talking nonstop in here. But I would be remiss if we did not bring in our guest from the hotline. And Sam, I'm going to have you do it because I don't want to push something that is bad and wrong. Savannah Henley, a pitcher from Richmond, Virginia, went to the University of Virginia. And thank you so much for hanging on. I know you guys have a game. What has this journey been like for you, Savannah?
Hi, can you guys hear me? Okay?
Absolutely. I can hear you loud and clear.
Perfect. Okay. I'm just so grateful to be here. I mean, like, just to be able to come back and play pro in the U.S. has been something that I've always wanted to do. And to finally be on this kind of team with these awesome girls and to have these awesome coaches and staff, it's been awesome. And we only started like 2 weeks ago, so...
And Savannah, your season is 2 months long, they were just telling me, until there's expansion. You played in three different countries prior to landing in Kansas City. Was that your only avenue, really, until this happened?
Kind of. I always loved to travel, so I always wanted to go play internationally.
Yeah.
But I always knew that ultimately, like, I wanted to get back to the U.S. Traveling has been awesome. Playing around the world has been great. I've definitely gained appreciation for the sport that I didn't have before. And yeah. I feel like that's been really cool to bring that back to the U.S. with me.
Do you think the United States and the Midwest specifically, we have the bandwidth for this? And I do, but let me tell you, Savannah, we've heard this before when people are like, we want a WNBA team here. And we will have listeners say, look, there's only so many different ways you can divide a pie. And we have all of these, you know, we have the KC Current. I do believe there is space for this in Kansas City. What have you seen around the world and then specifically in town that makes you think the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think our first weekend kind of speaks for itself. I mean, we had 4,000 some people come to like our first game. Like,
yeah.
I've never played in front of a crowd like that personally. And so, you know, for us to be a first year team and to bring in crowds like that and to consistently bring in crowds after that, I think that kind of just shows like this is the beginning of something really, really good. And I can't wait to see where it goes in the next couple years.
What would you tell any of the little girls listening, Savannah, if you're out there and you're 8 or 10 or 12 and that softball is still very much alive and well and very much for any athlete out there, a great choice in high school and beyond?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just think softball, just from when I was 9 or 10 years old, just to see how much has grown has been insane. And I think, you know, the opportunities are out there. You just have to go get them and you have to work hard. But anything that you want to do is out there for you, you know. And I think just sticking with the process and kind of just trusting yourself and trusting the work that you put in, like, you're going to get to where you want to get to. So that's kind of what I tell my girls that I teach back at home is like, just work hard and everything will work out the way it's supposed to.
Well, Savannah, we're so proud of you and so happy to have you here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Welcome. And we cannot wait to watch your career.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
Yep. Be well, my friend. So that's just so cool. Tell me about the KC Current and what they did to welcome these young women like Savannah, because that is the coolest story.
Yeah, it's just a great story of women supporting women. I reached out to the Current and said, there's a new team in town. We'd love to come to a game. And they said, great, let's set something up. So we did a pregame on the big screen. We brought our whole team. They got us tickets. We did a jersey swap with none other than Dabinia, which was crazy. And it was just such a cool day. And the girls from the Diamonds just looked around at a full stadium of people there to see a women's team in their own stadium.
Yes. And with their practice facility and everything else that we're seeing with soccer. And I think now it's time for softball, right? There's space available for all of us to enjoy this and support these girls.
100%. There's plenty of space for that.
Yeah. What do you want to see happen in the future? What do you see 5 years from now?
What I see 5 years from now is already now, and I see a very successful 16 to 24 team league. I see, you know, a regional concept that not only people here in Kansas City, but, you know, within a 2.5 hour radius, this becomes their team, right? The Kansas City Diamonds is their team. I see a training facility that these women train out that are next level. I see 4 or 5 other training fields around it. I see an athlete village where these women are like an Olympic village where they're living and training. I always say we work here, we live here, and we play here.
Uh-huh.
You know, these aren't women that are going to be transient guests. Let's get them here 12 months out of the year. Let them live here and let them be part of this community.
Andy, we would be remiss if we did not talk about the fact that these young, fierce, athletic women also have jobs.
They do, yes. They,
this is not a full-time...
Sadly, not yet.
...profession yet.
That's correct.
So tell me about that. Like, is there money to be had in this? And how has the NIL stuff changed? And but for now, they are all working in other careers and playing professional softball.
Right. The players are all paid. But our goal is in a couple of years to have them make a livable wage that keeps them from having to travel internationally.
Yeah.
That they come to Kansas City and make it their home. And they can, you know, raise their families here, buy a home, and not have to take on other jobs.
And to support that, how can our listeners help? Like, what we need people to show out to these games.
100%. I mean, the biggest thing is the energy level that was at the stadium this yeah. week is like nothing else than I've ever experienced. And I've been a lifelong Royals Chiefs fan, but the energy that was inside that stadium was special. And I think the call to action is we need people to show up. We need businesses to bring their, you're not going to be disappointed. The athleticism, the energy,
yeah.
you're going to want to come back.
Okay, so they are coming back next week. Is that correct?
June 29th. Yep,
June 29th. And who do we play and when and where and how can people find you?
Yep, so we play Atlanta June 29th through July 1st. We play New York July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. You can find our entire schedule along with tickets at www.thekcdiamonds.com. thekcdiamonds.com.
It is thekcdiamonds.com. It is affordable. Take the entire family. Take your young son who plays baseball. Take your daughter who plays soccer and support these women. TheKCDiamonds.com. They are back in town June 29th. Thank you both so much for your time this afternoon. Be well. We're back with much more on Dana and Parks right after this. Stick with us. Talked to a friend of mine at Pickleball last night who just went to see the movie Disclosure Day, which is the Steven Spielberg fictitiously based in Kansas City film.
Yeah.
Starring Emily Blunt as the meteorologist who's like, good morning, Kansas City. And then she kind of goes, like, has
starts
this weird
clicking
look on her face and starts
noises.
Clicking and making. So I said to my girlfriend, how was it? And she goes, you absolutely have to see it.
Yeah, I heard it's fantastic.
You absolutely should see it in the theater. And I said, well, is it terrifying? And she goes, oh, no. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, I don't think it's what most people think it is based on the trailers that we have seen.
Okay.
I said, is it a thriller?
It looks like a thriller based on the trailer.
And she goes, no. It's incredible. It is really well told. And then she said, think more like E.T., where there were some tense moments.
Right.
But it's not a horror film. And I don't know why I thought it was a horror film. Anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of what they show, as you mentioned in the trailer.
Right. It turns out Union Station makes a cameo appearance in Disclosure Day through the work of a local photographer by the name of Mike Day. Two of Mike Day's photographs of Kansas City appear in the film, including an image of Union Station. Originally captured in 2017, one of the pictures you will see in the film appears as the backdrop behind the news anchors during that broadcast scene that we're talking about with Emily Blunt featured in the movie.
Man, we've been getting all of the praise lately.
I know. It's on my list of things to see.
On the world stage, in the theaters.
She did say, like, of all the movies she's seen recently, she said that is one I would go see in the theater.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Can't tell you the last time I was in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that Joe's Kansas City has come out?
Yeah, so they've been keeping you guys posted on all the reports from different businesses around the metro.
They were going to be open on Sundays, and now they're like, ah!
Well, and a number of businesses are like, well, what the heck? Where's all the money from the World Cup? Joe's KC is like, we're getting plenty of people coming in.
So it's been hit or miss. I think there are some businesses who will tell you we cannot keep up. Joe's Kansas City would be in that camp. And there are other businesses saying, where is everybody? It's been hit or miss, but I think mostly hit. It is safe to say business has been booming for the iconic Joe's Kansas City barbecue, thanks to the heightened demand from the World Cup. The restaurant announced last week that all of its locations would be open on Sundays through the World Cup, and then they would resume normal business hours in July, where they're normally not open on Sundays. But yesterday, the restaurant announced they are reversing course. The overwhelming demand from visitors and for being open 7 days a week, they say, has taken a toll on its employees. They are now going to close on Sunday once again. The already popular restaurant had bustling lines that were out the door.
Yeah.
And they released this statement: to ensure that our staff has the ability to rest and recharge, we have made the decision to return to being closed on Sundays. This will allow us to better support our employees and continue providing the quality and consistency our customers deserve. With gratitude, the Joe's team.
Well, and it's a good call. I mean, on any random day, Joe's Kansas City has a line, especially the gas station location,
yep,
around the building. If you try to go during rush hour, during a dinner rush, in the Overland Park location, same thing. That line's going to be trailing all the way out the door. So when you bring an influx of fans and you look up, you know, what barbecue should I get in Kansas City?
Yep.
There's one couple that got a place in Odessa.
Odessa.
But everybody else is getting Casey Joe's. You
guys,
you
wait,
know?
Retell that story. This couple from Odessa. Or not from Odessa.
Ecuador.
Ecuador.
They were in town. I believe they were a couple from Ecuador. And they Googled, because they were in the barbecue capital, yeah, of the world.
Where do I get barbecue?
Where's the best place to get barbecue in Kansas City?
Oh,
and for whatever reason, it decided on a nice little barbecue joint. I'm sure it's fantastic. Never had it. In Odessa, which is, you know, nearly an hour drive from probably where they were staying in downtown Kansas City. They drove all the way out there. They had some barbecue. They talked
it
to the owners. They told the story about, you know, hey, we're from Ecuador. We found your restaurant on Google. They had some laughs, took some pictures, and drove back in for the game.
You know, and the next time, if they want, they could drive back to Odessa. No harm in that.
Yeah.
Or they could just go to any number of the barbecue restaurants we have, probably within 5 miles of where they're staying.
I did see an interview. I think it was KCTV5. They were interviewing somebody who said, man, every day we've been here, we've had that Anthony Bryant's barbecue. Yeah, you're close.
Give them grace.
You're close.
Give them grace.
From the text line, we were at Casey Joe's on Sunday. It was an absolute zoo.
Yeah.
Both locations were swamped.
Yeah. I think if you're local and we get to experience the barbecue all the time, you know, maybe, you know,
now, if
it up
I could
a
put
right
a request out to Joe's, because I do, I love their dedication
to
their employees and their desire to give them a day off, and I completely support the Sundays off thing. But if we're opening the window to maybe opening up on some Sundays, can we do it during the football season?
Yeah, during football, because even if it's drive up and
the
order,
number of times
out
that I have been getting ready to watch a Chiefs game and wanted some barbecue.
Yeah,
and I always want Joe's, and I'm like, man, what the heck?
You need
Why
to try
are they closed
Meat Mitch
on
too.
Sundays?
I love Meat Mitch.
Okay.
If you haven't tried Meat Mitch, try Meat Mitch. Let's talk about Manny's. The Kansas City restaurant has ended its World Cup gratuity policy after 1 week. One Kansas City restaurant is doing away with automatic gratuity after almost 1 week since the official start of the World Cup matches in Kansas City.
Getting a lot of pushback.
Manny's Mexican Restaurant on Southwest Boulevard took to social media Monday to announce the end of their very brief experiment with the World Cup gratuity. All funds gathered through the 18% gratuity went directly to our tipped employees. With that being said, adjustments can and should be made based on information on customer traffic, type of traffic, and what's best for staff in the community. We have chosen to discontinue the 18% World Cup gratuity and go back to business as usual. This is a new experience where preparation, plans, and focus can and should be adapted to care for all. And we love the owner Manny's,
yeah,
by the way. So they did this, if you remember, because there was some concern that with all of our friends coming in from different parts of the country where they may have different tipping traditions.
It's not commonplace to,
right,
tip in other countries.
That somehow our wait staff here would not be tipped. I don't know that this is coming to fruition, and here's why.
Okay.
If I left Kansas City and I went to some country in Europe and I did not know, but I care about the staff because I'm a good tipper, I did not know what the custom was, you had better believe that when I studied up, because we're going to be going to this place,
right,
I would look into it. Like, what is expected? Am I going to have ice in my drink? I heard over in Europe, the answer is usually no unless you ask.
Right.
You're going to look up those things. And I don't know why we would expect any different from our international friends traveling into town. I guarantee you they look that up. Like, what do we do? What is protocol when we go to a restaurant?
Well, and I found it interesting that that post from Manny's talked about, analysis of the types of customers that are coming in. Read that. We are super happy that we're getting a big boost of customers from the World Cup festivities.
But they might be local.
What we're finding is that most of them are local. And most of them do tip very well on a regular basis. And they're probably getting a number of complaints from people saying, hey, what's the deal with this extra gratuity?
Yeah.
I also noticed on a couple of receipts that I saw on social media, I won't name the restaurants, that they're coding it weird. It says like World Cup surcharge or something.
Yeah.
20%, which
and that's
just
gonna,
looks
that,
like.
Right. That's going to rub people the wrong way because they're going to say, well, I'm not here for the World Cup.
It just looks like they're charging 20% extra for the sake of charging 20% extra. And then you're supposed to tip on top of that. Not to mention, I also saw a number of receipts where the tip was being, the automatic gratuity was being applied to the subtotal before the taxes.
I don't even think that's legal.
It's not.
But back to your point about the World Cup, what was it called? Surcharge?
It said like World Cup surcharge or
I
something
never
like that.
In a million years, if I saw World Cup surcharge.
Would think it was an automatic
would
gratuity.
Think that that was a tip. If they're going to do it, you need to make it clear that the automatic gratuity line is the automatic gratuity. And then if someone asks, the staff can say, we're doing that because of the World Cup. But I wouldn't call it a World Cup surcharge.
Casey Reddit, folks on Facebook, folks on Twitter have been just screaming from the rooftops about, what do you mean you're going to charge me 20% extra because the World Cup is in town? Maybe they don't know that that was the change because of the tipping concern, but I'm happy to see that Manny's is adjusting on the fly because that's what you need to do to keep customers happy.
I'm also curious, and we'll take some of your calls on this when we get back. If you are renting out your home for an Airbnb for the purpose of the World Cup, how is that going? Because with respect to the tipping and with respect to other topics that we've had in our stack with the World Cup, sometimes we expected A, and we got B.
Yeah.
Oklahoma Joe's anticipated that there would be a demand for 7 days, and there was.
And there
but
was a
guess
huge
what?
Demand.
It was more than they want to deal with for the mental well-being of their employees. And so this is new to everybody, Sam. And so there are going to be a lot of different topics where I think people expected this and we got this. And the A to B might not even be a bad thing. It might be we were delightfully surprised that we thought it was going to be maybe bad and it was good.
Yeah.
What is happening with respect to the Airbnbs? And you can text us. You can remain anonymous.
There were fears
did
about—
Did you sell out? Did you, you know, because we saw this, Sam, with the hotels. They were told block out all these rooms. And then for a period in time, it like looked like they weren't going to need the rooms. And now they're saying, okay, now capacity's back up.
The whole FIFA blocking out the rooms, and I think it was like 70% of the rooms and then dropping all of them, absolutely ridiculous. Also, the fears were, and we talked about it on this program, if I'm going to be renting out my house for a week to some World Cup fans, are they going to absolutely trash it? We haven't seen any stories like that.
I don't think we have, and that's my point.
Safe to say things are going well.
This is new for all of us. There is a story in the stack about someone trashing a hotel room, but it has nothing to do with the World Cup. It's a country artist. We'll tell you about that when we get back. If you are one of those folks or in your neighborhood, folks are renting out their homes to our international visitors, how's it going? 913-586-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks.
Very quickly, we messed up. We forgot about terrible jokes.
We should do terrible jokes at 4:15. What do you think, Sam?
I think 4:15 is great. I was going to say 4:45, but we can do 4:15.
No, let's do 4:45. And let me tell you why there's some confusion in here.
Okay.
They want to rename ADHD. Have you seen this, Dan?
No, I haven't.
Oh, we're going to talk about this at 4 o'clock. This joke writes itself.
Very quickly, start sending your jokes in at 4:30. We will do terrible jokes at 4:45 this afternoon.
Of all the things they want to change and jack with, for those of us who are somewhat neuroatypical.
I don't know what HD is, but doctor said I got 80 of them.
Why would you change this again?
We're going to talk ADHD on my TV. It's really clear.
We're going to talk about it at 4 o'clock. I saw that headline. You guys, that joke writes itself. Can we just leave it what it is? I don't feel slighted when someone says I have a deficit in something. I don't. Let's just keep it what it is.
I mean, what would we call it?
Oh, I'm going to tell you when we get back. I'm going to tell you.
And why are we constantly changing the terms
for
these
things? Well, because there's a... There is some
ADHD.
Thinking that when you say there's a deficit, you're saying I'm deficient.
Oh, you are deficient. And the ability to pay attention. I am too.
Yeah.
We're all ADHD.
Do you want to hear the funniest thing about our softball guests? And I'll just read you the email that came in.
Oh, it's all over the place.
So we had... You know, people are emailing me like in show prep, and I am an incredible multitasker, but sometimes things get lost in the cracks because the way my brain works. And one of the things that the softball player that was phoning in from some other part of the country, I don't even know, she kept saying, now I'm mountain time. And I said, Savannah, let me just tell you something. I have no idea what that means. Are you in the mountains? What are you? Are you hiking? I don't know what that means. I know that you are going to call in at 3 p.m. Central Time. What that means to you, I'm going to let your brain figure that out. You do not want me calculating time zones. She didn't even reply. She's like, we got a crazy lady that we're going on the radio with.
So maybe we'll talk about the new term for ADHD at 4 o'clock.
Yes, we will do that at 4 o'clock. I'm going to wrap our Airbnb conversation with this because we have not had any problems that I've heard about. Certainly not any criminal problems with respect to all of the Airbnbs right now with our friends coming in from across the globe. Wichita police officers say they recovered 9 firearms, including 1 stolen handgun, after responding to a large teen party at an Airbnb late Monday night.
Never a good mix.
On a Monday night, 11:15 p.m.
Sounds like these are high schoolers.
Yeah, officers went to the residence involving weapons. Reporting party advised that a fight had broken out and that multiple individuals were armed. The caller estimated that there were 50 to 60 teenagers in this short-term rental attending the party. Officers got there. Numerous teens were, like, trying to run off. Several individuals were found to be intoxicated. Multiple people were arrested for possession or consumption of alcohol. Officers identified 33 attendees, ranging in age from 16 to 21 years old. The homeowner, can you imagine living in this neighborhood, by the way? The homeowner was cooperative, had no knowledge of the party, later responded to the scene, removed the individuals that had organized it, and then during a subsequent search, ooh, surprise, fun, they found 9 firearms. One of them, as I mentioned, was reported stolen during a burglary back in February. I'll tell you this. I don't know, as an Airbnb renter-outer, how you ensure that you're not renting to someone who's 21 and claiming they're responsible, and then they put something on social media and you end up with 70 kids that Joe Walsh the hell out of your property.
I'm going to borrow a question from your playbook. Is there any legitimate reason to get an Airbnb for one evening?
Ooh.
Would you not just grab a motel if you were passing through town?
For
would
you one, not just yeah, grab a for hotel? One night, would you not get a hotel?
You would not take the time to hunt down an Airbnb to legitimately just stay there for one night, unless you're flying in for a game for the World Cup in Kansas City. But this was Wichita.
I'll tell you, the Airbnb that I use, I go to the same one every single time. I work directly with the manager of, I think, 5 properties where my parents live. Because he knows me, I know him. I'm always like, hey, it's Dana from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Coming back in to see my mom and dad. We want the kitchen. We want to be able to bring the kids. So if you can, like, ensure that you're only renting out to responsible people that are repeat customers, absolutely, I would Airbnb my house every single day. It's the stories like this one out of Wichita that I'm like, hell no.
Well, and it comes down to, again, what are they using it for?
A rager with handguns?
If you're renting a motel room by the hour, We know what's really going on in there. You're right. Not taking a nap.
But how do you stop it? How do you know? Because the people that are online saying, yes, I'm going to be responsible. Yes, I checked this box. I recognize there's no smoking on
premise. You require a minimum of 3-day rental or 2-day rental. Yeah. Just not the one night, because with the one night, you know what you're getting.
We wrap with country music star Bailey Zimmerman. I've never heard of Bailey Zimmerman, but he's in some trouble. He is facing a felony charge for allegedly trashing a hotel room in New Mexico. There has been an arrest warrant issued stemming from an incident at a resort back in May where they are saying he did $16,000 in damage.
That takes skill.
TMZ is reporting he left the sound check, canceled the show on May 27th, stumbled, acted hostily, and threw stage equipment. He is later accused of going back to his hotel room and going Joe Walsh. My God, holes in the walls, stains on the carpet, damage to the television. Okay. He also is accused of drinking $400 worth of alcohol that he never paid for. It sounds like a country song. Bailey Zimmerman. Not a good night.
Oh, yeah.
We're back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead, including the new term for ADHD, for the love.
Terrible jokes at 4:45.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.